The views expressed are those of the speaker and not the host, KKCR, its staff, or underwriters.
That's a live version, folks.
With a little Citizen Cope, just because we're about to get a tasty Cope treat on the North Shore. So a little Citizen Cope, and we'll be back with Kauai Soapbox. Right here on Kauai Citizen Cope, and I am so excited to do the show today. I'm excited to not talk. I'm excited to listen, hardcore listening. Hardcore, Kauai. We had the biggest voter turnout in 12 years. Stuff happened. Some of you are going to be excited. Some of you are bummed out. Some of you are spaced out. I want to hear what you're thinking about what happened and why it happened. The next 2 hours, Kauai Soapbox, listener-supported radio that's listening. We're going to start with our first call. Our phone number is 826-7771. Any topic on the table today, anything at all. We just sailed through two hurricanes. With a miss, I got a phone call already lined up, and I'd love to hear you. What's on your mind today, Kauai? Go ahead, caller.
Hello, can you hear me, Carlos?
So good. It's all you. What's on your mind?
Okay, I'm going to be talking about Walmart.
Okay.
I have a letter here that was written by my friend, and what happened was that the newspaper, the editor, rejected it because he said it's too critical of business. And if he has a concern, he should take it to the Better Business Bureau.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with labor concerns. But I don't want to keep too much of your time because I know a lot of people want to call, but I would like to read this letter.
Please take your time. This is exactly why we're here.
Okay.
So what
and
happened?
I also have a website as well, too, that people can go to. It's pertaining to Walmart workers here in Hawaii.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It says, Walmart has a hidden agenda of firing senior workers with years of service and hard-earned benefits. I should know. I worked there for nearly 19 years. I was there when Kauai Walmart first opened, and like many of my co-workers, gave a good many years of my life laboring to make Walmart a very wealthy company. During the past year, there have been at least 5 senior employees that have been terminated for minor reasons. The firings are being done to hire new workers with less pay and benefits. It is always management's word against the associates. We have no organization to represent us. Plus, they have a small group that they can rely on to report on their fellow workers. I know they will try their best to discredit me and others who may support me if this letter is printed. Critical letters about Walmart that have been printed in newspapers have gotten quick damage control responses from management. They came up with a phony charge that I overextended my 15-minute break because I took it after using the restroom. Associates are being watched, timed, and written up constantly for the silliest reasons. I know with this letter that it would be very difficult for me to get a job with Walmart again, but the truth must come out. I have a family with 4 young children to support with rent and car payments to make. This job was very important to the survival of my family. Both loyal customers and associates, please don't be fooled by that smiling yellow mascot you see everywhere in their store. So this was written by a worker for nearly 19 years that got fired from Walmart. And what happened is that when we went to the editor, we were told this letter wasn't going to be printed because it was too critical of business. And I have a website that people can go to. Can you hear me, Carlos?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. It's called workersexposedwalmart.weebly.com. I'll read it all over again. Workers, WORKERS, expose, EXPOSE, Walmart, WALMART, dot Weebly, WEEBLY, dot com. So I'm glad you gave me this opportunity. because we wouldn't have been able to get this letter printed for the community to read.
Is the workers exposed Walmart one solid word with no dot, dash, or...
Yes.
Okay.
One solid word with no dot, no dash. You know, there's usually a dash between Wal and Mart, right? There's no dash. It's just workers exposed Walmart. Weebly.com.
Well, you actually called in using the show perfectly. We're not, of course, here to support you specifically in a specific attack against Walmart, but we're here because we are commercial free and we're uncensored and we're not beholden to any corporate or business interests of any kind. So we're here to just provide airspace for exactly this type of thing to get something out. And, you know, I won't have any personal comment on Walmart, but I'm here to open the airwaves. And so it's actually a perfect call. And this is a Kauai Walmart we're talking about?
Yeah, we're talking about Kauai Walmart.
Okay.
But, you know, there are workers all over the state and all over America that are concerned about how they're treated at Walmart. And so we are getting this word out. And since we couldn't get it out in the paper, and my feeling is that maybe Walmart is a big paid advertiser. That's why we were told this. Because there's a lot of letters to the editor that are pretty strident against business. You know, corporations, for example, like the seed companies. You know, the petrochemical firms and other matters as well. So, you know, there was no reason why this letter wasn't printed. It was from a worker himself. And it wasn't just bashing, it was telling the truth, you know, and for the community to decide themselves. So I'm glad you gave me this opportunity. Unfortunately, I can't, the radio is out here, I can't catch a show.
Okay.
That's why I called early, and I'm not even on my internet, I can get you guys. I don't know what's happening, but seems like your antennas are down.
You know what? I'll talk. The station manager actually here right now. And on occasion, after storms, the antennas do go down at certain parts of the island. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do archive everything as well, though.
Okay. I want to tell you, Carlos, I really enjoy your show and what you've done in this prison period when you came back, of giving people a chance to express themselves, whether you agree with it or not, because it's what's on people's minds that matter. You know, and,
thank you. It's been the election
period is very important for working folks to express their opinions.
It's a tough journey because, you know, I read a lot, I research a lot, and I even study deeply. But I really felt like it was just time to not have an agenda being pushed from any direction and just to really open the airwaves. For me, you know, I had a long run before Felicia was mentored up and took over for the last couple of years. And I'm really happy to be back. And
Well, I was a regular listener of yours as well, you know, and I thought you were always pretty fair. And by doing this, it shows that you are a pretty fair person, giving everyone their shot. You know?
Well, you know, it's interesting talking about corporations because in the last couple of months it's popped up a few times, and they're almost like a life form, and they have laws. They're actually beholden to the shareholders, and if they are not striving for maximum profit at all time, if it can ever be shown that they're not striving for maximum profit, they can be held liable. There's no one person that could be held liable because they're not a living entity. They don't die, so they're immortal, and they don't have estate or inheritance or death taxes. So in a way, they're super competitors. I'm not anti-corporate at all. I'm a business owner, and businesses are very important right now for the fabric and structure of society. But it's just so interesting because the business itself is like this living entity, and it's not beholden to its employees or even the community it's in. It's beholden to its shareholders. And that creates an interesting situation because it almost puts it into conflict in many ways with the community. And yet it's serving a purpose. I actually was driving to Lihue yesterday, and I was thinking about entitlements and welfare from corporate to whatever. And we're just such in an interesting moment in life because entitlements require money. And if the money isn't coming in from the people, it's got to come in from the businesses. So the businesses work with the government to actually help subsidize the entitlements. And then suddenly the government actually looks to the businesses as the primary funder of reality. And so we're in this situation where, of course, the government is going to look at business, you know, with a favorable eye and everything, as it should. Business isn't bad, but you know, a lot of us, I just don't think we want to look at the whole cycle. It's so interesting. I don't know. I hope we continue to grow and evolve as a civilization. Maybe we head towards Star Trek, you know, where everyone just does what they're best at and what they love. And, you know,
my concern as a wage laborer is making sure that it's fair, you know, for the workers, you know, so that we can survive.
Well, it's a family. It should be a family. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There are other big box stores here on the island. I won't name them, but they're actually known as being one of the most employee favorable businesses in the country. And you know, it's once again, it's not my place to give advertising or anything, but how you called in just to let everyone know it's exactly what we're hoping to do at KKCR is just open the airwaves and get out of the way and listen. So
thank you, Carlos, giving me this opportunity. And can I give the website one more time again?
Absolutely, and I have it written down if anybody needs it.
Okay, it's called Workers Expose Walmart. It's all one word, all lowercase, workersexposewalmart.weebly, which is W-E-E-B-L-Y, .com. Okay.
And people all over the country in different communities and neighborhoods and counties make different decisions on how they interface with their business neighbors. And some places actually don't allow fast food or don't allow big box stores, and they do it as a community. Other people embrace them. But certainly we would hope that whether it's big ag, GMO, big box, fast food, that they're working as part of a community, as an integrated part of a community, as a neighbor, rather than someone that's just harvesting revenue from a place. So anyway, great point. Workers, say that one more time.
Workers Expose Walmart.weebly.com. Weebly is a free website.
Yeah, it's so, a free like a blog website, right?
Yeah, right. So, you know, people can, you know, make their own sites and stuff like that from Weebly.
Yeah.
They'll help you along. So anyway, wanted to get this information out, and I'm glad you gave us the opportunity to do so, Carlos. And if I can get to a radio, I'm going to try to listen to the show.
We are archived, too, so you can always listen to it later.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Mahalo, brother.
Thank you so much, caller. Yeah, he brings up a good point. What I'm trying to do for the next period of time, however long I'm here, we'll see what happens with the elections, etc. But we really just want to open the doors and, you know, left wing, right wing, repub, dem, religious, atheist, business, anarchist, farmer, whatever. We just want to hear your calls at 826-7771. And the more you call and have something to say, the less I have to talk. And I really prefer that lately. I like doing air traffic control and just making sure the calls get on and get through and are moved along in a timely fashion. And I want to remind people, some of the callers want to call in and they do not want to interface with the host at all. And that's absolutely perfect. If you call in and you would just like to unload, as long as you don't use the seven deadly words that cost our station money, feel free to just say, hey, I'd like to rant, or I'd like to just talk for a couple of minutes without being interrupted, and that's absolutely fine as well. That's it for now. I'm going to play a little bit of music, get some information set up on my laptop. The number is 826-7771. And also, if you're on the mainland and you're listening via the internet streaming, you can call us toll-free at 866-275-1112. And don't be embarrassed if you're from the mainland calling in. Your calls are just as valid, too. Once again, 866-275-1112. Great to work at a listener-supported radio that is not beholden to any interests outside of its listeners. That's really, we work for you, and the airwaves are open for you during the show. And so because we do not take commercial money, we don't have to worry about offending or insulting or rocking the boat. We can just let it rip, and you can call up, and I don't like it when we're heading towards slander or libel or specific human entities, but if you can talk in a general way about a problem or situation that you're having, then perhaps some other people are having the same experience. I'm going to play a little music, and we will be back after this at KKCR's Kauai Soapbox. Congrats to Eric, my co-host. I think he's in transit, but from what I heard, he just kicked some booty somewhere. I think it was Las Vegas in the jiu-jitsu world. So congrats, Eric Cannon, my co-host. And, boy, I'd sure love to hear what's on your mind with this election. The biggest turnout since 2002. We could still do a lot better, Kauai. But a big turnout. A lot of people were shaking their heads and kind of amazed at the turnout. I can't say Abercrombie, our governor, lost his seat. The first incumbent governor in the history of the state that has ever lost re-election. So that's very interesting. Some people did say, well, not some people, there are actually polls that said up to 47% were not voting for David Ige. They were voting against Governor Abercrombie. That's very interesting. Did your candidate get in? Did they make the cut in county council, mayoral, state rep, etc.? Is there somebody that did not make it in that you wish did? Give us a call, 826-7771. I'm going to play some music till I see the phones light up. And if it's a quiet day today, I don't need to blab. We'll just play some great music. We'll be back after this. Or how about this? That was the phone. Good job. A little more here. Let's take that first call. Go ahead, caller. You're on the... Oh, you left. Let's try this call. How about that? Are you here?
Hello.
Hey, we lost our other line. So if you're out there, I know your voice. Call back. But go ahead. It's all you. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, there's a whole lot on my mind. There's not enough time to tell all that's on my mind. But just one little thing. I went to the mayoral debate in Kilauea.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Derek Kawakami talk. And it's the first time I've ever listened to the guy, and he seemed like a real nice, smart guy, and his heart's in a good place, you know. But when he gets a question like, do you think that legalization of marijuana for recreational use is a good idea? It never ceases amazing how politicians say this is like a hot potato question.
Well, it's called a litmus test question. It's how we trick our politicians to expose themselves. But
he answered it in a favorable way, even though he laughed and he goes like, "Well, yeah, I can handle the tough questions." And he laughed, you know, and he answered it in a positive way because, like he said, "Well, yeah, we'll look at like Colorado and this and that. You know, it's something to be looked at." It's definitely in the realms of possibility. But then in the end he says, and then if we do legalize it in this way, at least we can monitor it. We can have some kind of control over it, right? And all that's good and well. It's progressive. Even though in my mind, I'm going, wow, it's 2014. You know, is this such a hot potato issue still? You know, get a grip. You know, I mean, if I was a politician, I'd go, if someone asked me about legalities of marijuana, I'd go, yeah, legalize it. It's about time. It's a huge waste of taxpayers' money for law enforcement. It's ruined it's hurt so many people's lives by being arrested. I heard on an earlier show on the radio, like over 700,000 people in America got arrested for marijuana last year.
Those are revenue units, baby. Come on, don't be confused. Exactly. Those are generating revenue.
Yeah, right, for the police, you know. I mean, they're revenue units for the police. You're right, you know. I mean, and that's the terrible thing about it, you know. Hawaii, and I'll let you go in a second. Hawaii in the 70s, if they'd had the sense to legalize marijuana, it would have been a booming economy, a booming business for them, you know, and still today, they still have the opportunity to do it. You know, not just like hemp, but smokable marijuana where they could package it and put their seal of approval. This is from the county of Kauai and ship it to all four corners of the universe. You know, because it's just like, you know, you just go for how screwed up the world is and how many problems there are to deal with when this issue is thrown on the table. You know, should we legalize marijuana? Politicians are still scared of it.
Okay,
you know?
But look, let me jump in here for a second.
Okay.
They're scared because they understand there's a generational gap. And
right.
I don't know whether it's 40, 50, 60, whatever, but there's a generational gap that, first of all, doesn't understand really the difference between medical or medicinal marijuana and just partying, and also that really don't understand that while the hemp leaf looks exactly like smokable marijuana leaf of cannabis or indica or sativa or any of the flavors out there, it actually doesn't get you high at all, and it's unbelievably amazing in its ability to create paper, oil, rope. It's, I mean, just so many things come from the hemp plant, but they don't get it.
That question was answered, too. He answered that question.
I was
really
impressed.
Well.
I was impressed.
How he answered that. I liked how he answered that because he goes, yeah, it's a viable commodity, hemp, you know. But like, just like I'm millions of other people, you know, like me, they go, well, look, the other viable product is smokable marijuana, you know, like, if you know, that from Hawaii, you know, you can.
Yeah, so
you
you're call, you're literally calling for an ag crop, like smokable, like Colorado. Well, I have heard through kind of back channels. And this is me, Carlos, so this is not something I can give any sources or anything. So it's hearsay. But I've heard through some pretty legitimate back channels that within 18 months, we are possibly looking at dispensaries on the island.
Well, I was
kind of amazed at that.
Well, it's going to happen, especially the minute California does it, the whole world's going to do it. It's funny because California is like one of the biggest countries in the world, you know, for the size and the population, right?
Well, I've been I say that sarcastically. I've been monitoring the news, and it will come out two teens have died from driving while stoned. And so in Colorado, and I want them to juxtapose that to the 500 teens in the same period of time that died from drunk driving, you know, or whatever. If you've noticed the statistics, the murder,
all the millions of babies that are hundreds of thousands,
fetal alcohol syndrome,
that die around the world from diarrhea.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I mean, come on.
But it's a scary thing.
I love you, Carlos. I'm going to say one last thing. I'll let you go. There was this one other thing in the news where they were talking about, the United States is basically creates more violence around the world than any other country, and newspaper guy, he made some comment about Israel or Palestine. The Palestinians, they should kind of just lay down all their arms, which they should, everybody should, and do this Gandhi nonviolence demonstration that will create this sympathy and more, and this will make things happen faster and faster. And this guy is an American talking from an American political standpoint, where this very Noam Chomsky was on Democracy Now. The guy's a famous peace advocate, and he was going, well, you know what? The United States should promote nonviolence. I mean the sales, it's like RIMPAC, the sales of military equipment plus ammunition to any buyers, it's absurd. You know what the United States is willing to make a buck on, and they're still, marijuana is illegal.
Well, marijuana, you know, conceivably is going to make people go, wait a minute, what are we doing? We're blowing
people money.
Who knows?
As long as they don't overprice it, you know, once it's legal, you know, they've got to keep some kind of price so it goes, you can't be like ridiculous, you know, about how much it costs to buy there. Because when Derek Cole Comey's talking about, well, if we legalize it, and that's good, you know, we can control it. And you go, control it? You know, what do you mean control it? Like tax it, this and that, sell it for only certain only licensed distributors, instead of going, yeah, well, we're going to, if we legalize bologna sandwiches, then we'll be able to monitor it. You know, and you just go, come on, guys.
Well, I gotta jump in because, listen for one second before you take off. Bologna sandwiches are monitored. The FDA monitors at the farm, the food inspection, the health department.
Right.
It's basically everything. You know, everything
you're
is monitored.
Right.
So
it's all monitored, dude. We're being watched from the eye.
There are states in this country right now that are working toward making small scale and organic farming illegal. fascinating.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
It's
so sad.
Yeah.
It's so
okay, but just to synopsize, you were interested in Derek's position.
I like him. I mean, as far as politicians goes, he grabbed my attention because he's willing to talk about it in a realistic way, you know, and I admire him. I applaud him for that, you know. I'm not putting him down at all, you know what I mean?
Let me ask you something.
I thought he answered the questions well, except that if I was in his position, I'd answer it, you know, not with a laugh like, well, I can take tough questions. I'd go, yeah, it's shameful that the marijuana has ever been illegal and all of the hundreds of thousands of people that have been incarcerated for a roadside
but
weed.
Okay, but just getting real, how many votes would you get?
Well,
right now.
Well, in the long and short of it, that the one guy that hardly anybody voted for, the real bright kind of jokester up there, I forget his name.
Laca something.
Yeah. That guy would probably be a real good mayor. You know, oddly enough, you know, he probably would, you know, and he said an awful lot of great things, you know, about GMO society, politics, you know, but everybody kind of shrugged him off because he's just kind of a funny, comical guy, you know, but the guy, I think the guy had his heart in the right place. He's smart, you know. If you gave him the reins, that guy could probably be an unreal mayor, you know, but at any rate, I voted for Barca, you know, and I want to ask you a question because I don't know. I don't read the newspaper, sorry. You know, is there going to be a runoff between Barca and Carvalho?
Oh, yeah. This election actually was to just weed it down to the two top vote-getters.
Did Felicia get in there?
Felicia did. I believe was in 11th or 12th, but someone, I should know. That's shame on me for not knowing the exact position.
Well, good
position,
for her. That's good, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I got to tell you, and then I wanted to say that I was very happy that there were candidate forums, but I was very unhappy with the format. I just don't believe in 2 minutes you can really develop a concept and convey it to your constituents. So I'd like to see something a little bit different next time, you know, the next round, next 2 years from now or whatever.
I think you're right. It's just like stupid. It's childish. 2 minutes, 30 seconds.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, most of the people that are there are willing to stay there for more time if it takes the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if it's such an important deal, like 2 minutes, like, come on, you know? But I hope, you know, I mean, everybody says Mayor Carvalho is a nice guy and this and that, and that's okay. Let him be a nice guy, you know, but I pray to God that he loses, or does maybe even a more noble thing, step down, you know, and give, Hawaii needs new leadership, you know, and Dustin Bark is the man for the job, and have a nice day.
All right, aloha. 826-7771, how many of you actually did listen to the candidate forum for the councilors? We canceled the one that was going to follow on Thursday night. That's right. So Monday we had the mayoral forum and the state representative, but Derek did not have anyone speaking alongside him. It was just him, so he kind of got a little open zone. But the second night we had the county council candidate forum, and that was canceled due to impending weather, which didn't happen. I was just looking at pictures of the Big Island. Boy, they got a lot bigger slap than the news made it out to be, so I was kind of shocked. I also would like to take a personal moment to thank Hamid out there. I have just broken my hand a couple weeks ago, so I was out trying to get my prepping done, and he just came over and hopped up on the roof and helped me. I had a couple windows that actually didn't have windows. They just had screens, so we had to put some plywood up. But it's good to have friends. It's good to see Kauai come together the way it did, and we were very blessed to have the storms bounce off the island. I think it was maybe Mauna Loa or Pele that was kicking some booty on that action, because, boy, they just split, one up north and one down south. Anyway, 826-7771, anything you'd like to talk about? Otherwise, I'm happy to play some music. We've got an hour and 15 minutes left to go. So open airwaves, it's all yours. I won't say if you don't use them, you'll lose them, because that's not true. We're going to keep doing the show till the end of time or the zombie apocalypse. Speaking of which, very interesting, following the Ebola story out there and just trying to parse whether it is fear in order to get us to maybe get some new vaccines or behave or just not make the best decisions, or it's actually really approaching the U.S. Interesting times we live in, but also really good ones, too. A lot of awakening people, a lot of awakening youth, which inspires me a lot. I have three daughters that are two 19s and a 22, and I get to be a lot around them and their friends a lot. And the depth of their thinking, it's very different. It's a different kind of thinking, but the depth of their thinking and the breadth of it is just, it's amazing. It's a whole new paradigm. Anyway, 826-7771, Kauai Soapbox. It is 4:42, and we'll play some music, and we'll be back just waiting for your calls. And maybe today is just a day for music. That's fine, too. Let me see. What have we got next? I'm going to surprise myself. I just throw a couple in. Oh, I think this is Giannis, one of my favorite songs. Take a little liberty. This is for my wife, Kathy, out there, who's put up with me for 22 years. Thanks, Kathy.
Don't you cry.
Aloha, we're back. And just almost magically, someone called up right at that second. So I'm just going to assume they want to go on the phone and share what's on their mind. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air live.
Hey, how's it, Carlos?
Good.
I just want to let you know, maybe an hour and a half ago, the radio waves were down, and they are back up and running.
Oh, wow. Okay, KIUC is out there working very hard. So it's not just us. It's the public radio station, too. And thank you to KIUC, our Kauai Community Electrical Co-op. We're back up. So that's fantastic. I was starting to worry. I wasn't getting any calls. I'm like, wow.
That's, yeah, no, it's loud and clear. It sounds great.
Hey, what do you think about the primary elections?
You know, it's a tough one, but I have to say, you know, I was cruising in my garage when I got home from work, and Marika actually came walking up, you know, just humble and nice guy and just walking around.
Hmm.
And I don't see Mayor Carvalho, you understand? Yeah, he's kind of putting his effort out there.
Yeah, well, I saw probably like 50 people for the mayor's team out in Kapaa yesterday, holding signs up, and you know, different ways to approach, you know, glomming in a group or getting out there solo and hitting the pavement. But it, if nothing else, it got a lot more people voting than we have for the past 12 years. So that was kind of exciting. Yeah.
This was last week when he did so.
Oh, okay. Before, so he was just out there banging on doors. What a humbling experience. Somebody told me the Hawaiian word, and I thought it was aha, aha. But gosh, I apologize if I've messed up that word. But just the humbling of it all, you know, putting yourself out there to any of the candidates is a great thing.
Yeah.
Did people that you were looking forward to get in the council get in?
Not, I was going for Felicia, you know, for mm-hmm. sure. And I was kind of going for Dylan, too, but I don't know if you got in or not. I've been looking for the results, and I just haven't been able to find it. It's been working so much.
I think it's on the internet at hawaiielections.gov. I think you can track it down.
Okay.
And Dylan did not get in. Kind of a laudable first run, though. You know, that's tough. He went out there and kind of cut his teeth on that. And I believe Dustin got about 32%, which was, you know, amazing, and made it to the second round for the general election. And Governor Abercrombie did not get in. David Ige spent $500,000, and Governor Abercrombie, Senator Ige, my apologies, and Governor Abercrombie spent $5 million plus. So it was a 10-to-1 outspending, and yet Governor or Senator Ige actually made it to the next round. So a very interesting election. It wasn't all about money this time. It was a lot of the people's voice. I'm hoping to see a lot more young voters out there in the general.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, but Carlos, love the show. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for calling in. So the signal is back up, and thank you to KIUC, Kauai Island Utility Cooperative, for getting us back up there. That's very important.
Okay.
All right. Let me see. I think we are going to play a little bit more Citizen Cope. This is Hurricane Waters. And let me see. It's just off the album that's just called Cope. Hurricane Waters. A 2 6 7 7 7 1. A lot of free airtime today, but some days you just want to hear some music. We just sailed through the hurricane and made it through the primaries. I just want to groove this show. going to start taking calls. The board's lighting up here. And sorry, Citizen Cope, but if you're lucky, you get to see him tomorrow. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it, Carlos?
Hey, I was hoping you guys might make it to the studio today, but maybe next week.
Yeah, well, what time is it? Oh, it's already like 5 o'clock. Yeah, I just got off work.
Yeah, it's a bit of a drive, but anyway, how's it going? Yeah. What's up?
Being all right. I just was calling to say, how's it? You know, as far as the election goes for me, I'm just hoping, I'm pulling for shots. I hope he pulls the vote and Hanabusa's legal challenges doesn't hinder it too much.
What an interesting experience that a little tiny town or district in Pune is going to get to decide that election. Like, they get slammed by the hurricane on one end, and on the other end, the vote was so close that it's those districts that didn't make it in due to the hurricane that are probably going to decide the Hanabusa and Schatz election results.
Yeah, and their approaches are so different. You know, she's flying in a helicopter over the scene, and he's in the ground unloading and barbecuing with them, you know.
Well, it's so much theater. I mean, from any angle, it's how can you interface with your friends, your family, your constituents? You know, do you get out there and, you know, walk the streets and rub elbows? Or are you trying to tell them, hey, I'm going to represent you in Washington. I don't want to get dirty, but, you know, I can do big things. It's very interesting. Politics has just been very interesting in the state this election season.
Yeah, and while we're on the topic of that area, I was watching on the news how, you know, there's about 8,000 people, and they're grumbling about the response and all this. So I called up my friend, who's one of the people affected in Pune, and I had to laugh. He goes, "Oh yeah, the only people grumbling is the Trustafarians. The guys whose houses doesn't even have code and spec. He lives right in the heart of it. And all the guys with those obedia trees, some of them, he told me, planted those on purpose because they like the way they look." Can you imagine that? You live in a world where you're planting albizia trees next to your house?
Well, you know, it's dangerous beauty. They are a beautiful tree. Well, they're actually more of a grass than a tree, albizias, a pest.
No,
but,
I give them that. Yeah. I give them that, but I always walk up next to my house.
Well, they're actually more closely related to grass than trees, believe it or not. And that's why they're so dangerous, because they're not really strong. They grow so fast and so gigantic. We've actually lost a few county workers here in Kauai to those trees.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what's funny is that one day I was deep in Anaola, and there was this little, I was on my quad, you know, going deep country. And there was this little lady, you know, a girl, but she was a young woman. And she was in there, and she just was staring at one tree. So I ended up stopping and talking, and it turns out she was some scientist studying the albizias. And I learned that, you know, in Africa, they're actually on hardwood. It's just over here they're hollow and soft.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know. It's not like I went and studied those things. And she said, no, yeah. You know, something to do with the difference in the micronutrients and the climate and whatnot. For some reason, it doesn't get hard like it's native where it's from. Where it's from, it's a hard, solid tree.
Well, you know, interesting. There's a similar story, not similar, but there's another tree story with the eucalyptus. They were brought over here, and because we didn't have the natural predators, the koalas, to keep the side growth from happening, they get all jiggy here on Kauai, and they actually didn't work. So they got all, you know, they're like wild and free eucalyptus trees. But you never know what's going to happen. Hey, your name popped up yesterday in a good way, and I had a wonderful experience. I think I can share. Someone hit my daughter's car while she was driving. They backed into it, and it wasn't a big deal. But I had to go down to, I think it's Kauai Collision, and I met the Geico agent there, and her name was Jessie Corbett. And it took about an hour to run through, you know, all the details. But we had the most amazing political talk. And she's from the West Side. And, you know, I got...
I know her husband really well.
That's what she said. And your name came up because she, you know, she was talking about her West Side roots. And then she was talking about her Portuguese roots. And I go, you know, I got to ask you if you know the quintessential Portuguese dude, Matt Bernabe. And she's like, oh, my gosh. But what a smart woman. I mean,
yeah, I like her a lot. Really nice. And her husband is really cool. Really good diver, Hawaiian brother.
Well, you know what's cool is I didn't know anything about Errol Kaneshiro, and so you know she shared a lot about him, and she had, you know, interesting insights on just about every single candidate running, and she's just one of the smartest people I've run across in forever. You know,
she's pretty bright.
She's bright, smart, cookie.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad it was in a good context.
Well, I'm not talking about the other stuff here on the I'm kidding. Hey, so you were going to try to get out here to the show, but real quick for the listeners, just to share what happened and how she got selected, because what a great thing as a parent, and also what a great thing for Hawaii and Kauai. So, you know, why don't you tell us what happened with your daughter that was kind of special?
Well, first of all, I want to start off and say, although my daughter is not quite happy with what Kau Kapau schools run this year, they're doing something different this year, I will start to say what this all came about with the shifting in Kapau High School. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to endorse the middle school, but Kapau Elementary and High School I do endorse. And you know, this all started with Kapau High School takes the top, you know, the students that are holding for 3.5 and up. You know, all you really need is a 3.5 and up, and they submit your names into some programs, and they submitted my daughter's name into this program for called Envision, and they have a few different categories. Like they have an FBI one, believe it or not, and whatnot. They have a few different ones, but my daughter went to the Young Leaders Conference. And basically, it was a 7-day conference, and I actually had to pay tuition. It was $2,200.
Yikes, but where was it?
It was in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's the biggie.
And she was able to sit down with both the House and the Senate representatives. Although she didn't meet with Schatz, she got to sit down with his staffers, and because she was the only one from Hawaii, she got extra time because a lot of those other kids, they have more than one student from whatever state they're from, you know. Mm. There was about 300 in her group.
And how old was she?
For a summer.
How old is she?
She's 15.
15 and already hitting Washington, D.C. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you know, and I primed her, you know, she's been on the radio, she's talked to Felicia, she's talked to you, and I prime her. And, you know, she didn't go in there and just do photo ops, you know. She actually got to meet with Tulsi, and I had her press, you know, the overuse of sonar and really more the issue. I kind of geared her to pressers, not from a man's taxpayer's point of view, but kind of like the kids one. So I kind of got her, I made her ask Tulsi, why are we not using the RIMPAC resources to clean the Pacific Ocean? You know, it's kind of my more, you know, light for my girl. And she got to hit some other issues, you know, the environment and whatnot. And she got to see the process is really what was important because she got to sit on, in fact, the last day of voting in the House, she was there.
Hmm. Wow.
She got to travel underneath. She got to travel underneath to the, like, because the Senate and the Congress buildings are actually apart from each other. So instead of walking on the top street, they actually took her on the bottom and said, "Hey, you're all, come on, let's go." And they actually took her on the subway for the Congress, you know, for the important people. Hmm. They got their own private subway. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that either. I was confused. I'm like, the metro? And she's like, "No, Dad, they got their own subway." I'm like, "Oh, wow, okay." You know, she knows more than me at this point about civics.
Well, we got to get her in here. What do you think about the primary? Were you happy? Were you shocked? Were you surprised?
Well, you know, one thing I'll say is you've already touched base. I saw on the mainstream news, Channel 9, that Kauai had the highest island percentage turnout. I don't know if that's what you were referring to earlier in the show.
Yeah.
But of all the islands, we had the highest in the state. Our island came out with a little under 50%, I believe, or like in the mid-40s somewhere. And so that's like the best thing right there. You know, I mean, if somebody bombed Barca, you know, lower in the air, and or somebody didn't make the cut for the county council. You know, yeah, that's gonna happen. I am actually more worried about this race. I know this is not your show, so I can say how I feel. I feel that Hanabusa is so much of a professional politician that I hope she doesn't get in. I'm kind of bummed that it's not finalized in that race. That's what I will say. Where the rest of the chips lie, I'm fine with it. It all worked out. The process. You know, I'm going to go for EJ. I went actually Abercrombie just because I don't like the other two candidates. Well, I don't vote Republican.
Mm.
But the kind, you know, I'm kind of, the one thing I will say is that I'm a little bit bummed that this race, the Senate race, is not finalized.
Boy, shades of Al Gore. And it's amazing in the last couple of presidential elections, too, how close it is. And it really is an advertisement for your vote counts, because at one point they were within 11 votes of each other for quite a long bit of time, like an hour or something. Between counts, they were 11 votes away. And you know, I don't know. I'm not a total conspiracy theorist, but understanding things like when companies like Diebold can control vast amounts of voting. In a way, how can there not be some attempt somewhere along the line to manipulate or steer the outcome? And I'm not saying that's what happened, but when you start getting these two candidates, you know, within 0.5% at the presidential level across the country, I don't know. It's suspicious, but we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, I don't care. Either way, I'll support the process. But, you know, the drama that's going along, it's actually kind of like a soap opera. You know, and I'm not really falling for drama, so that's kind of what I'd rather have it be done already.
Right.
Although, you know, it will be interesting to see how the legal process, if she challenges, you know, they're holding a polling on Friday, and if she loses, if she challenges, it will be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, real quick, I want to say you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and also K284AL Haleiwa. Got some signal going over there now. And this is listener-supported radio, Kauai Soapbox, for another hour. Go back to you, Matt.
Well, before I go, I'll let you get back to some other callers. But before you go, you know, I really do want to say that this great experience that my daughter earned, and I went in and I paid for it. Obviously, I paid the money for it, my wife and I. And with help of a few family members and whatnot, you know, we did fundraisers and whatnot. But, you know, Kapaw School really did this. They the ones that submit my daughter's name.
Hmm.
She had a 4.0 for a whole year, you know, she earned it with her grades, obviously. But she wasn't the only student that was eligible or even nominated for this program.
Hmm.
And so they just didn't capitalize on it. And, you know, I'm active in, you know, politics in the sense of I get involved, I cast a vote, I call in, I weigh in, I start debates. But at the same time, if you want to make change and you really want to get the gears going on the bike so you can gain some speed, you know, you really have to do stuff like this.
Mm,
you have
yep.
to take them to D.C. You got to get them exposed, you know. I admire the girl who passed the farm bill. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I tell my kid, hey, look, that other kid is on it. You need to be on it, too. You need to be running together side by side. Get it going.
Yeah, we ran into some great opportunities at Kapaw High School, too. You know, you get it. You get out of that place what you put into it. So my daughters went there, and we had some great experiences there, too.
I'm not going to lie. That's my alma mater, and none of that stuff went down when I graduated.
Hmm.
Kapaw 91 wasn't happening in that
deal. It's an evolution. It's a process. Yeah. Well, congratulations on congratulations on having such a Akamai daughter and just being a good dad too.
All right.
And I know there's a wonderful woman and wife standing next to you and mixing it up too. So good job to both of you guys. All right, maybe she could just pull some cavities on Kauai, like in a bigger sense.
That's it, you know.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, man. All right, aloha. All right. Slow day today. We had our transmitter down for a while, so we were probably running silent air. But that's okay. It gets me a chance to play music. I'm always jealous of the music guys and gals in here that get to play the music. But it's actually really hard. I've had to do it two or three times. I've had to sit in for a show. And you don't get to relax. It's every two or three minutes. Some of the guys will do, and some of the women will do a whole show on their computer. They'll kind of burn it first, and then they get to control. But it's like every two or three minutes you're jumping for the next thing and making sure you get your segues right. But anyway, this is a call-in show, 826-7771, and just open airwaves. So what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? I was kind of a little fascinated about what's happening in, I believe it's Missouri, Ferguson, Missouri. There was rioting. A young African-American got into an altercation with police. It's being investigated, so I don't want to comment on the specifics because they're not fully understood yet. But the feeling of the crowd was that he was unjustly shot and killed with his hands up in the air. Gigantic looting. People were actually driving in from other areas to loot. There was a big Twitter presence saying, you know, looting's happening at Ferguson. And that was 2 days ago. Last night, they actually were shooting at helicopters and throwing bricks on the freeway. Tanks were brought in. This is the U.S. So, boy, interesting times. I don't know. We're going to have to move forward somehow. And hopefully the youth is getting out there, waking up, voting, learning, studying. You know, don't let us old folks run the whole show. 826-7771, 50 minutes left. I'm going to play some more music, and I'm fine if we just want to listen to music today, too. It's your show, not mine. Be back after this. Some more Janis. Oh! All right, little Janis Joplin. We did have a caller call in to say thank you for exposing her to Cope, which is different than being exposed to Coke, Coca-Cola, or any other thing. But you, I'm just joking. You know, there's interesting laws out there that govern commercial radio stations, stuff with music, and it's all funky. But luckily, because we're a community radio, we get to we get a little more latitude. So I'm going to be playing some more Citizen Cope because he's doing a surprise show on the island tomorrow night. So I'm going to explore him myself. I love playing the Janis Joplin because my wife's a big fan, and she kind of got me hooked into it. I think she is part of the mysterious group of rock and rollers. Let me see, Jimi Hendrix, Morrison, I think even Keith Cobain from Nirvana. A lot of rock and rollers check out at 27, and I think she was one of them. Interesting coincidence. I don't know, if you crunch enough numbers on anything, you can find patterns that aren't there. You can make the statistics and math do whatever you want. You can make it dance. We've got another 45 minutes open airwaves. Interested in your thoughts on the hurricane prep and panic and frenzy and frothiness. The vote, the election, our primaries over, what's happening there, what's happening in the middle of the country. I've got 45 minutes left to take your calls, and I love when I don't have to talk. I'm a lazy talk show host. I'd much rather listen and do air traffic control and get a bunch of different opinions on. I want to say thank you to Jesse, too, for such an incredible conversation and really kind of tuning me into the West Side and what's happening out there. With the people that work out there in the ag industries, and just getting another perspective. 826-7771. Got a couple more callers. Here we go. What's on your mind, caller?
Hi, Carlos.
Aloha.
Aloha. Hey, I was really happy to hear from the brother from the West Side, I think he was, that called in, whose daughter went to Washington.
Yeah. I think that's
I thought it was really fantastic that one of his main concerns about the RIMPAC people was maybe they could have, and I agree with them, if they could do something about cleaning up the oceans rather than, you know, destroying marine life and mammals.
Well, you know, we would all love to make a massive quantum leap and just be in the future already, but unfortunately we have to walk through time to get there. So, you know, maybe we can be working with the military, with our big ag neighbors and everything, maybe, as I think Felicia said, it shift the weight. And when these big exercises happen, maybe there should be 20% or 30%. I mean, we'd love to not have the need for that type of military to begin with, so let me be clear. But maybe they could be doing amazing stuff as well. I don't know. Maybe that's why the island care happens right before RIMPAC. You know, maybe that's just a way to kind of say, hey,
exactly,
we're giving back. And that's great, but, you know, gosh, maybe we could do some health care to the island and the oceans, et cetera.
And the oceans.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a whole island of garbage out there, and, you know, and that's really hurting marine life as well.
There was some kid from another country somewhere in Europe that invented this gigantic boat-like thing that could literally go around the gyres and suck up the plastic and pollution and convert it.
I saw that.
What happens with that? Yeah, it just disappears.
I also remember I went to a talk, a discussion, and a film from some guys from, I think they were from Australia, possibly New Zealand. I don't remember. It was a couple years ago. It was at the old Kilauea Theater with the Christian churches.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys were talking about rebuilding reefs.
Mm.
And I forget what the process was because it was really complicated in my mind, but it was working. And that would be nice for fish to also rebuild the reefs that are being destroyed.
You know, it's just so interesting that we have the corporate structure. You are required by law to create profit, but it's okay to exploit. And once again, I always say this, I'm not anti-business. I'm, you know, capitalism could have been a great thing. It's, you know, unfortunately it fails more often than not, but what else are we going to have? But boy, it would just be nice if it was inbred that there was a responsibility to be a good neighbor and not be exploiting. I bet you could do business and not exploit and be a good neighbor, too, and still be profitable.
Yeah, you know, like the GMO companies, it doesn't feel like they're being good neighbors. I'd like to see them be good neighbors. I think that, you know, there's apparently a lot of people support that industry because from the elections that just happened over the weekend, I, for one, am extremely disappointed. I mean, And you just spoke with a woman you said over that was from the Insurance Adjustment Agency, and you had mentioned, she had mentioned Errol Conoshiro, and he got an extremely high number of votes, 8,000-something.
Yeah, amazing.
Kind of, what was her take on him, or can you discuss that?
Well, I don't think it's my – that was a private conversation, so I would say if she wanted to call in, great. But for me, it was very insightful, and I just – you know, I'm so down on the Repub versus Dem, religious versus atheist, North Shore versus – West Side, Howley, local, you know, and so I really loved it. I like Dean, the station managers, talked about actually putting together kind of a mobile van that we can get out and do live remotes all over the island a lot more. And I just think it, we got to work together. And the fact is, there was a large voting presence for Errol, and that is saying something. And some of us may like that or not, but we've got to deal with where we're at, and we've got a vision where we want to be, but we've got to deal with where we're at. And I think that's an interesting point you make. There definitely seems to be a big support. Is it a silent majority? Is it a very vocal and powerful minority that's well funded? Who knows? But it's, you know, I wasn't disappointed at the turnout, and I, you know, we've got to walk through time, and we've got to work with all the people that live on this island. And
I think that for me, I was disappointed, and I'll tell you why, because I did register a lot of voters, and I really wonder, did these, you know, it was sort of stormy weather, but not that bad. And, you know, even my own mother-in-law, I couldn't get her out, which I'm going to get her an absentee for next time at 4:30 in the afternoon after a shower. She didn't want to leave her house because she's an older, you know, an elderly person, and but she certainly wanted Dustin Barker for mayor, and she certainly wanted to vote for Felicia, you know, and you know, but yet she didn't go out, even though I tried to get her out to do it, you know, to make that move.
Okay, and so what do you? Let's just jump past that. What is the bottom line? Is it a disenfranchisement? Do people think their votes don't count? Are they so removed, or do they feel powerless? Like, how could you not vote? It's just, like, even if you're, I don't care what side you're on, how could you not vote when things are happening like this?
I mean, I ran into a couple friends yesterday at Jamba Juice, and I said, oh, did you guys vote? And they're so darling, they're in their 60s, and she says to me, oh, you know, we got the little thingy in the mail. And I go, you mean the ballot? And she goes, yeah. And she goes, but, you know, we just didn't fill it out and mail it in. And I go, you know... Anyway.
Well, there was Glenn, Brian Schatz. Sorry, Glenn. Great Kauai artist, Glenn Schatz. Brian Schatz and Hanabusa, there was a period of time where there were 11 votes were separating them.
I remember that.
And
remember there, that.
Your vote counts. It's just amazing. I believe it was, when did we have the special election where, was it Carvalho? Someone got, or maybe it was Baptiste, but somebody, they didn't even have to have the second election because it was 50% plus one or something. It's been
right, which they stopped doing that, thankfully, because Mayor Carvalho would have won this election.
Yeah, you know, thank you for clarifying that for me, because in the back of my mind, I had told a few people that in the past, if you got 50% plus one vote, you won. And so I guess they changed that legally at the county or state level, or what happened with that?
Yeah, I don't even remember when it got changed, to be quite honest with you. I just remember I was in a discussion with Felicia, and she had mentioned that that it's been changed, you know, or there was some stuff going on Facebook. I was reading the day of the election because I was kind of having a panic attack because, you know.
You know, it's funny. I was going to ask you if you called in, because you've been so active in registering people to vote, and it hasn't just been this electoral season where you, of course, have some familial ties, but all through the years, so ever since I've been on the air almost, you've been out there trying to get people to vote and really taking an active role in registering new voters, and thank you for that. But I was going to ask you, do you think there was any type of hanky-panky, or do you think it was weather-related or apathy or disenfranchisement? What's your feeling at a gut level?
Well, I don't think it was hanky-panky. I can't say for sure, but I would certainly hope not. I think people just didn't go out and vote. I truly think that. I mean, my own niece, I told you about my mother-in-law, my own niece just had a baby. She didn't go out and vote.
You're outing people on the air here. Oh, my gosh.
I'm so sorry. I just know probably about 10 people that didn't vote, and it's kind of crazy, you know, and I'm like, what? I mean, I worked so hard. I hand-delivered your registration forms to the county building and made sure that they went through. Then, you know, I stood there and the girl counted, you know, 25 at a time, or I brought in 15 another time. She, yep, they're in, you know, there's nothing, you know, they're in the system, you know, so I made sure they were in the system. I didn't just drop them off and run out the door and hope they were in the system.
Do you think it's a hassle, or do you think people just don't really believe that they're involved anymore?
Maybe they didn't take the primary seriously. Maybe they're waiting for the general. You know, honestly, I don't know what people think. You know, I only know how I feel, and I know that this is really, you know, I was worried there for Felicia for a little while. Here we have somebody that is so intelligent. She's an intelligent girl because she self-educates herself. Not only is she college-educated and she's an engineer, but she self-educates herself by going to all of these meetings. You know, the county council meetings, the Department of Water meetings, you know, all sorts of different meetings. And so she knows what's going on more than most people do, more than most people running for office that aren't already in office. So it just surprised me, I guess, that she got the number of votes that she got compared to somebody else that doesn't go to all the meetings, that maybe has a name that their father has been in, you know, on the county council in the past, and so they recognize the name, and so he gets in, and it's just surprising. You know, it's surprising to me that Dustin Barker, for instance, got 5,900 votes. I for sure thought he would get at least 75. I mean, I really thought it would be more than the people that we marched with, which was just above that. But, you know,
do you think there are lessons to be learned from that, or what do you draw from that?
I think we really need to go to different communities. Those of us that are closely tied to some of these elections, we need to really get into these different communities and walk door to door and get to know the people and let them get to know the candidate. And that's the only way that they're going to really follow their heart on voting for that person. Maybe some people might think that Dustin Barker doesn't have enough of an education, or he doesn't have enough experience, or he's a pro surfer, so how's he going to do with an office job, you know, a desk job? I mean, people probably think those things, but I'm sure that he has, and he needs to let people know, maybe feel a little bit more confident about voting for him, that he does have a good team in mind for who he would appoint for different offices. And my ex-dentist called me the other day to get a phone number of somebody, and then I mentioned Dustin Barker, and he said his wife got on the in the background, oh, we're going to vote for him, you know, they're probably in their 60s, and we love him, you know, and it was really good to see that there are people out there in the community that are older that are voting for him, but there's so much more people to reach. You know, I'd love to be able to go to the west side and speak with some of the people, you know, that work on the GMO fields. And, you know, it shouldn't be a hate kind of a relationship towards the North Shore, or, you know, I just feel like there's a division. But we didn't put it there. I remember being clearly at one of these county council meetings and you know, being friendly with people that were wearing the blue shirt. And they were so negative towards me because I was wearing a red shirt. I mean, really pushing me out of the way as they come out of the county council office. And just really negative. And I remember one of the meetings, there was a couple different ones I attended, our children were playing with their children, the blue kids, were playing with the kids that were on the red side.
Oh, my God. This sounds like a science fiction movie.
It is. It's such a science fiction movie. And some of the parents of the blue, don't play with those kids. They're on the other side. You know, and that's how Ireland was divided between the Catholics
right,
and the
Protestant. Right, the Ulster Orange,
you know?
And the Protestant, yeah.
It's just, or the famous Sneetches book by Dr. Seuss, The Star-Bellied Sneetches, you know. One of my favorite books. It's such a fabulous book.
Well, I love your idea of interfacing and, you know, getting, you know, West getting out to North, North getting out to West. But
I like your idea of actually, you know, you were saying it was Dean's idea, or, you know, getting out there and actually doing some live broadcasting from some of these different neighborhoods. I mean, that's a great idea, you know. I'd like to see a broader conversation.
Yeah, I would too. And I got to tell you, in my private time, I have very strong beliefs and opinions, but since I took the year and a half off and I've come back on, I'm more committed every week to truly try to come in here just for my show while I have it and just really be unbiased, because the stories need to be told, and people need to be able to call in and, you know, have a place that that's safe. And I don't care what side they're on. It was, as I said, it was so fascinating getting a West Side perspective yesterday for me. And I, you know, I had the just a wonderful hour plus conversation, and you know, it was amazing. A lot of the West Side, it involved West Side candidates and, you know, where they were coming from. And, you know, we just, we do, we need to get out there and get everybody on the same page, because ultimately, you know, nobody wants this island to be poisoned to death. Nobody does. There's jobs at stake.
It almost feels that way, Carlos, but you know what?
Let me rephrase. None of the people that live here want that. There are corporate interests that require profit, and there are neighbors. So what do we do with this situation now? How do we work together? You know, I don't see anything getting pushed out or expelled immediately. It's going to be a constantly evolving relationship. So I don't think even the red or blue team, nobody wants anybody to suffer or to be hurt or to be poisoned. So we're not including enough stuff about jobs or future or sustainability or whatever.
Just ideas to move forward. I mean, I think that we say that we have good ideas. We say that, well, we could be growing hemp. It remediates the soil. It's this, it's that. It creates jobs because you have hemp cloth, hemp seed, hemp oil, you know, and that's all true. But until you actually say, look, this is my plan, and these are my backers, and this is what we can do, and we're ready to go in there right now and lease the land, and we're ready to put you to work.
Hmm.
You know, I think that's what people might be waiting for.
Yeah. Well, one of our first callers was talking about, I believe, Derek Kawakami's stance on industrial hemp, and he was questioned about medical marijuana, and the caller initially felt like he kind of steered the question a little bit. I was listening. I was really impressed. I'm always impressed when any politician takes a complete stance on something, whether I'm for or against it, but if they own it, I'm like, wow, that's great. But, you know, it's a potential, but it just tells me there's a lot more happening than people were realizing because of the support that you see for some of the candidates. So we've got to encompass that as we move forward.
I'm so sorry.
Is that an alien talking to me, or what are who?
No,
we?
It's some aircraft, a loud aircraft.
Okay.
But anyway, I better get off the air and let somebody else call in. How come there's not that many callers today?
You know, we were down. Our transmitters were down. It's happened a few times after big storms, so I would guess, and I don't know for sure, that it was weather-related from this weekend. Maybe a tree fell. I know a tree fell on a transmission line.
Carlos,
so,
I know that we played phone tag recently on our private phones, and I really would like to talk with you more privately,
sure,
you know, about your conversation, if possible, with the West Sider, so that we can maybe understand. I can understand maybe the minds of the West Side people a little bit more.
Well, I just want to work together with everybody, and even if they're extreme, we got to all figure out some common ground and start from there.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, my number, and for you, caller, and for anybody out there that has an idea for a story, or maybe you're too shy to come on the air live and you want to just talk to me and suggest some things or give me your thoughts, it's 808-635-9382. And I'd love to take calls. I'm here for the next few months at least. And that's it. So 808-635-9382. And thank you so much, caller. Thanks for registering, everybody, too, and working so hard. All right. Yep. You disappeared, so I guess we lost you. Yeah, I apologize. Our transmission line was down for a while, so slow, smart. But I am enjoying the opportunity to take it a little slower and also listen to some good music. So I'm going to play a little bit more Citizen Cope. I haven't really been a big Cope aficionado. I just never really have listened to him too much. I did run across him at a poker table once, and I did not come out ahead. So I'm hoping I cross the field of battle with that guy once again someday. Great musician, though.
Old man calling on the young man, got the soul man trying.
Apologies to the Cope lovers out there, but the callers are what the show's all about. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Oh, we lost her. No, we didn't. We couldn't have. Let's try that again. Hello? 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 Oh, no. KKCR? Boy, we've got lights on and nobody home here. A little moisture in the studio. Okay, let's try that. KKCR? Huh. Okay.
He's on?
Yeah.
There's more people shopping at Costco for hurricane supplies than vote.
Oh, okay. You were actually not on the air. We had a little funky circuit there, but we got to fix. So you're...
Well, people, they don't vote because they're apathetic. I mean, they're selfish, they're ignorant, they're lazy, they're in denial.
That is some negative stuff. Come on.
Yeah, but it's the truth. I mean, look at the results. You know,
well, some people are really happy about the results, though.
Why didn't Barca just win in a landslide? Why didn't Felicia? Why wasn't she?
Well, I know both of them, and those of you who know me know how I feel off the air, but I'm going to say, obviously... other candidates connected in a deeper way on some level. Maybe they were better financed. Maybe they connected with their constituents. But
that doesn't make it right.
Well, for you, but for some people, they're thinking hallelujah. So it's interesting.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, I'm not saying that. That's not my point.
But your point was about Costco, that there's more people.
You're right. You know, the GMOs are entrenched. And they get a vote of confidence with this election, you know, because...
Okay, but let's take it to a deeper level, though. So what are we saying? We're saying that there are people out there, there's been enough education about GMOs and their potential impact on human life and fertility and everything. Let me finish, though.
Still aren't educated.
Okay, but there was a lot of education happening. Something else is motivating people. So is it money? Is it fear of jobs? Is it...
People care more about football.
People
care more about, like, football, you know, and drinking some beer.
Whether there's
being poison sprayed on the west side.
Okay, but first of all, we'll go back and forth. Because I respect your opinion. I don't agree with it necessarily, but... You know, it seems.
Didn't you hear the council people when the councils got on the radio in Waimea? They had, you know, a couple of the council members, Ross Kagawa and somebody else. They were talking about, you know, football.
Okay. I see your point.
That's a quote from one of these.
Okay, I actually produced the show at KKCR that was doing the live remote, so I actually got to watch it and listen to it.
Neither of those guys mentioned anything about ill health related.
Okay, but once again, you gotta let me get my words in too.
Okay.
So here's the question, though. On some level, that resonated with a certain segment of the population. Enough to get out there and vote, and another segment, conceivably with education about GMO and impacts, because for a lot of people this was a litmus test election about GMOs, but apparently for a larger majority of the island, it wasn't. So,
well, the majority of our island is basically people that are living in the past. I mean, they're living, the majority of the island probably thinks that the Vietnam War was a fight against communism.
Okay, but so your statement right now, and we're just having fun because no one else is in the queue, so I'm just talking, but your statement could be seen as, like, disrespectful or out of touch.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody. I'm just saying that I have a right to hope for for
absolutely. I'm 100% behind you on that.
Future of Kauai.
Okay.
You know, and I can't help but have my own opinions, you know, and what will be, even if it's doomsday.
But I want to keep getting back to this point because you bring it back, and we're kind of having fun. I know this person.
Right.
To the listeners, I know this guy, so we're having a little back and forth. But you're kind of inferring, oh, it's about football or ignorance. And I'm saying, well, you know, for some, but for others, maybe they made a choice that these issues weren't as important as other issues. And I think for all the candidates, it's a wake-up call to go, huh, how do I get my message out better? Or
that's true.
Am I focused on the wrong issues? Here I am trying to save the future, and maybe there's some people here in the present that are really worried about their financial. I don't know. It's interesting, and I'm not taking sides. I'm just kind of reflecting another point of view because it was a fascinating election. I think it took a lot of people. I'll just come out and say it. I think the people that were assuming it was going to be a slam dunk for certain individuals that had taken very vocal stances against Big Ag and GMO, et cetera, on the island, I think they're shaking their heads right now going, what the heck happened? So the question is, are you in politics, not you, but are you in politics for a specific issue? Are you in politics to represent your constituents? And if so, let me finish and then I'll let you talk. So, do you readjust your track to encompass the people that obviously weren't connecting with your message, or do you just go, well, then this, I'm going to get out of it because I'm a one issue candidate? So that,
well,
you keep
on fighting the good fight.
Okay.
You know, and you're dealing with like a huge brick wall of stagnant people that, I'm not saying they're stupid, but they're still uninformed, or they don't believe it. They choose to take the side that, oh, well, GMOs and these pesticides aren't that bad.
Let me jump in again, okay?
Okay.
Because this is a great psychological exercise to me.
Right.
When somebody, right now you, but when it happened a lot during this last couple of years, when somebody comes across with that, oh, I'm not saying they're stupid, but they're kind of stupid. I could see that people, let me finish before you jump in, it automatically creates this survival pushback response. And so maybe we're approaching this the wrong way. Maybe we got so antagonistic that we literally created red team, blue team, instead of like, oh, these guys have, this is important to them, and this is important to us, and where's our common ground? So I don't know. Maybe we keep fighting the good fight.
You're right. That's very good. You said that very well, and I agree with you, you know. That created a lot of battling in two sides. People had to choose sides, right? The thing is that certain people decades and decades ago realized that organic food and health food and all that stuff, it wasn't a joke. It's serious stuff. It's your health is your greatest wealth, you know, and processed foods like white sugar and white flour that has been like the huge like staples of food for most people, like Coca-Cola, or I don't need the calories, I think I'll have a Diet Coke, you know what I mean, instead of some fresh orange juice, right? I mean, that's the difference between Hawaii, even though it's funny because what you're saying, you know, back in the old days, in the ancient Hawaii, they didn't use pesticides. Okay, you know, they didn't think in terms of, oh, I'm organic. And people didn't go, oh, what are you, a hippie? You know, because they ate the natural food from the resources that were here.
Okay,
you know?
Just you're putting me in this position, so this isn't necessarily
okay.
My position,
okay.
But how I would respond was by saying they didn't have the option. So
we can't really know.
Their
vitality. They seem to have a very vitality. You know, some people might have gone, well, I think instead of getting down and weeding, you know, the cracks in the sidewalk or in front of your house or in your driveway, I think I'll spray some Roundup on it because otherwise I'm going to have to bend over and make a few sweat. a little sweat. It was
okay, but I want to keep it moving forward with you.
Okay, well,
something.
Go,
no. I just want to keep it without rambling.
There's a huge division.
Okay.
And there's a huge division on this subject, GMOs. It's the biggest decision. It's the biggest thing on Kauai right now. It's more important than the roads. Drug abuse, et cetera, et cetera. It's the biggest, hugest issue in Kauai, and that's where the vote lies. And all I'm saying, it goes back to the if you will, the regiment or the habits of people's diet. It's people in Hawaii, generally speaking, 85% of them, locals, non-locals, Howleys, Hawaiians, you know, they eat a poor diet. They really aren't diet conscious, okay? They don't go to the effort of going, wow, man, I'm going to eat some brown rice instead of white rice, or I'm going to eat some whole grain brown bread, wheat bread, instead of some, like, white butter.
Okay, so I get that. I get your, you know, of course, healthy food is better.
One of the demography besides just being lazy to vote and the weather and this and that, you know what I mean? It's a diet. It's a conscious realm of what we put into our body.
Okay, but so what? So what do we do though? So what?
What do we do? That's a good question.
Here we are, and obviously.
That's a great question. I'd like for, well, maybe the magic bullet. Maybe this is a magic bullet out there.
Well, I'll tell you what I kind of got is. I think the approach itself created antipathy. I think the information, the knowledge, and the reality, I'm going to say it on the radio, eventually everyone's going to get there. They're going to go, huh, pesticides, huh, even GMO, it's great in a lab, all that stuff, go do it in a lab, don't let it leak out, pesticides, GMO, but the approach, I got to pot you down because you don't let me have my turns, I'm trying to go back and forth. The approach didn't work, so somehow there was a large segment of the island that either felt marginalized, disrespected, or even insulted, and I'm not talking about the industry. I'm talking about the people. There were candidates that were pro-GMO that got double the amount of votes that candidates that were anti-GMO and very well-educated
well,
got.
That's
so
because
that,
we're heading into oblivion.
But that doesn't do anything. We're
right.
We're heading into oblivion, so what?
Wait for a thousand-foot tidal wave before people panic and people go, oh, God, we've got to do something right now. You know, people are willing to wait. We're living in a bubble.
Oh, well, I think maybe we're finding out that there are issues, and I'm gonna get a whipping for this, but maybe there are issues that are even more deeper or more important than the GMO issue, like respect, conveying of information, bringing everyone to the table.
Well, there was plenty of information, like Felicia, like that lady said, bless her heart. She went to every single meeting that there was in Hawaii from A to Z. And how many people did that? Not very many. It said that guy, Dr. Hubert, the guy who knows how bad glucosamates are and atrazine, you know, that doctor that spoke here, you know, that really wonderful guy. I mean, how many people were willing to go listen to that guy or tune into KKCR? Because the majority of people in Hawaii don't even listen to KKCR, probably. They listen to another radio, you know.
Well, and once again, what's happening? Why?
I don't know.
Why
you know
is that happening?
It's the same thing that's happening around the world, basically. You know, is that people are just going to sit there until you know, like I say, you know, if they're
well, you kind of have a little bit of a fatalist attitude, I guess. But I understand where you're coming from.
What do you expect? When the top issue, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna have a $1 billion and go over there and buy votes and say, hey, look, you don't have to work for the GMOs. Here's $10 million. That'll last through the rest of your life because it's all about money. Where's the money, honey? You know.
Well, let's just my turn. My turn.
That's a fatalistic thought, isn't it, Carlos? That we're always gonna have to depend on money.
Okay. First of all, I want to say I totally understand where you're coming from. completely, and I think it's a perfect. I mean, you're kind of up against the wall. You're feeling frustrated and almost maybe even a little hopeless. But oh, he hung up. Okay, sorry about that. But somehow the message was either not conveyed properly or it wasn't the message that was important to a segment of voters. And I think it's fascinating. I mean, if, you know, you catch me out at the coffee shop or something like that, I'll tell you what I think personally. But in here, my job is just to take the calls. But, you know, I'm curious what the listeners think. So this is where we're at. This is the primary election. We still have another election coming up. And one way or another, the candidates that win, whether money talked, knowledge talked, information talked, somehow they resonated with the voters and got them to get out there and vote. And other people somehow are missing the mark, and, you know, it's fascinating. Anyway, 826-7771. Coming up next, we got Jazz with John, and I'm sorry, bald-headed Rick. I know it's, you know, it's that time of day you don't like, but Jazz with John is coming up. Some great jazz music for you, those of you that love jazz. We got about 12 minutes left. Our transmission lines were down. Very slow day today of calls, but I appreciate all of them. And the last caller, I want you to know I totally appreciate your passion, but I find it interesting. And once again, I think all of us need to get around, get outside of our own digs and get to another part of the island and talk to people and find out. You know, we got to work together one way or another. So litmus test issues are great to pin politicians, but if you pin your hopes on litmus test issues, then you either win or lose. You got a binary outcome, and that's no good. 826-7771. I've got about 8 more minutes left, and hopefully we'll get a few calls. But, you know, sometimes it's just great to have a show where you get a few calls and some great music. So what do we have up next here? I'm gonna see if this is a phone call for the show right now. Hello, caller. Did you want to go on the air?
Yeah, sure.
You're on the air live.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to say that it's entirely possible sometimes that misinformation is part of the problem.
Okay.
And also, the whole GMO issue seems to have a long learning curve.
You mean the information is complex, or you're up against professional marketing and commercial establishments that know how to spin things, like really get
both.
Specific.
Both.
Okay.
I mean, it's a long learning curve to understand it, because it is complex to really get all of it. And then there's the misinformation coming along that says, oh, it's feeding the hungry world. And whatever other misinformation they've got going with it. And I mean, even people that speak for it now, like speak up for it, and know that it's dangerous, took a long time getting there.
Wait, speak up in favor of it, but know that it's dangerous still?
No. That are speaking against
it. Okay, okay.
That are understanding how serious it is. I mean, when Dr. Evslin spoke at the testimony at the Veterans Center, when he talked about the American Pediatric Society, it's like, I really don't understand why that doesn't get more traction.
Right. I think that's our challenge, though, is to what is getting traction? Is it fear? Is it fear of money, stability, losing a job? The people that are really understanding the potential impacts of GMOs to be negative, though, that group of people somehow, if they really feel, and I know you're one of those people that have been working for a long time, there's no money or profit or anything you're getting out of it other than trying to affect society in a positive way. Where do you guys go next? How do you realign? I mean, how do you take a different tact? What chapter of Sun Tzu's Art of War do you use?
More people, you know, okay. You just continue on with your education.
Yeah. We have the little reading stack in the bathroom at the house, and I guess one of my family members got Popular Science, which I used to love because I'm kind of a techno science geek, and a big headline on the very front cover said, in bright red, said, no GMOs won't kill you. And it upset me, not because I think it's entirely true. I bet a lot of GMOs won't. But to make a statement like that at such a broad range and in such a public magazine in science, you just can't even make a statement like that yet. You cannot make that statement. So I hear what you're saying. There's kind of irresponsibility. There's money involved. There's the corporate, you know, liability and the need to make profits. So somehow, though, the message is not landing on Kauai.
Well, I think it's all over the world. I mean, this is a real global thing. And I just saw a paper from the NRDC. And they're talking,
what does that stand for?
A National Resources Defense Council.
Okay.
Yeah, Natural Resources Defense Council. Robert Kennedy Jr.
I want to say real quick, caller, there's one other person on the line right now.
Okay. And
but I'm going to get to them. That will probably be the last call. So if you haven't called in, I would suggest not. But if you're on the line right now and it's ringing, I will get to you in 1 or 2 minutes. And go ahead, caller.
Actually, when I was calling in and you were waiting for somebody to call, I did 771, and I couldn't get through it.
We're having problems. It is busy, and nobody's on it.
So yeah. Through on the four.
Yeah. Okay. Now three lights are going, so we'll move pretty quick. I'll give you a minute.
What I wanted to talk about was he's talking about glyphosate. He's talking about Roundup, and beyond the GMO thing, even the Roundup is like such a serious problem, and that's what the other caller was talking about. Dr. Huber, Dr. Don Huber, the soil pathologist, and Stephanie Seneff, the lady from MIT, they're all talking about it now, too. And it's what Dr. Eflin was talking about, and how the glyphosate, the Roundup, limits the ability to take in minerals, and it limits being able to detoxify. So everything's basically just getting polluted and starving.
Yeah.
And it's a slow thing. It takes a while to accumulate, but it's inevitable.
In 15 seconds, what's the next step for you guys from this position? Where do you meet? Do you rally? Whatever. And I've only got 15 seconds, and then
we just have to keep educating person by person.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, thanks, and maybe we can start next week right from here.
All right, then.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha, caller, and thanks for holding. You're our last caller. I've got about 2 minutes.
Hey, Carlos. I was hoping for three.
Ah, okay, wise guy. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wasn't even going to call in, but I was listening to the guy before, and he's just kind of, he's great at pointing out the problems, but I think a lot of us know there's problems, but what we need to be focusing on is the solution.
Yeah.
So I was hoping maybe to play a little 3-minute poem for you to end the show.
I actually don't have 3 minutes. I've got almost 4 minutes of station business I've got to do at the end. So you got to call in sooner.
I was trying. All right, maybe next time.
Next time, yeah, let's do that.
All right, aloha. Great
All right,
show.
Aloha, bye. Thanks. Yeah, so, you know, your candidates made it in. They didn't. Maybe they halfway did. But moving forward, politics is an interesting theater. And so... interesting times. Do a little station business. We've got the county council report, and coming up next is Jazz with John. We'll be back after this.
KKCR, Hale, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa.
Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Balihai Realty, also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihai.com or by calling 826-7244.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds... garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Aloha, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of August 11th. There will be a regular council meeting Wednesday at 9 a.m. and the meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are some highlights from the agenda. The director of planning transmits the planning commission's recommendations to amend the county code relating to the comprehensive zoning ordinance to increase the fee charged by the planning department from $500 to $750 for non-conforming use certificate fees charged as part of the county's transient vacation rental program. This is Bill 2540, also under bills for the first reading. The county engineer transmits for council consideration proposed amendments to the county code relating to integrated solid waste management to establish variable rates for the collection of residential and commercial refuse, to establish variable rates for refuse collection service, also known as the pay-as-you-throw. This is Bill 2551, also under bills for the first reading. The Executive on Transportation requests council approval to receive and spend Federal Transit Administration funds in the amount of $200,000 to support the Transportation Agency's completion of its short-range transit plan for the County of Kauai. County Attorney requests authorization to spend additional funds up to $50,000 for Special Counsel's continued services in the Syngenta Seeds Incorporated versus the county. This is a U.S. District Court civil case. The attorney also requests up to $50,000 for Special Counsel's services in the Eric Shabuya versus the county. And finally, they request authorization to spend up to $30,000 for Special Counsel to represent Harry Barriga and Sherwin Perez and Linnell Tokuda et al. Versus Chris Calio et al. The county attorney will provide the council a briefing on these cases in a non-public executive session. The Committee of the Whole has on their agenda Bill 2547 authorizing the issuance of general obligation bonds, and this was approved and is under bills for the second reading. There will be a non-public executive session, and subjects include 1. The quarterly report on pending and denied claims. 2. A discussion and decision on whether to sanction Councilmember Tim Bynum pursuant to Section 3.07D of the County Charter and related matters. The purpose of this executive session is to consider the discipline of an officer or employee or of charges brought against the officer or employee where consideration of matters affecting privacy will be involved, provided that if the individual concerns requests an open meeting will be held. The council will also receive a briefing on 6 EEOC charges concerning the County of Kauai, Kauai Police Department, and to obtain settlement authority and related matters. The council is not finished with this meeting by approximately 1:30 p.m. It will recess for public hearings on the following. Bill 2548, amending the county code related to real property taxes. This is a timeshare tax classification proposal. 2. Bill 2549, amending the county code relating to real property taxes. This is a residential investor tax classification proposal. And Bill 2550, for an ordinance amending the county code relating to real property taxes, that's vacant land reclassifications. After the public hearing, the council will reconvene to complete any unfinished business. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR.